Good afternoon to you all. You join us for something a little bit different this afternoon. We're going to do a special one-off episode where we're looking at building our ultimate F1 team from all of the history of Formula One. So we'll be looking to choose a team boss, a car, two drivers, one being a world champion and the other not being a world champion. So let's go. I'll just run through that again in case you missed it. There's a lot of drums and guitar going on. Yes, we are gathered here this afternoon to discuss the history of the greats of Formula One. We are going to be building our own ultimate F1 team. To allow us to do that, we're going to choose the team boss, the person we want in charge of our team, a car, and this can be any person, any car, from the entire history of Formula One, so from when it was inaugurated in 1950 up until now. So you're allowed a team boss, a car, a driver who has been a world champion in Formula One, and a driver who hasn't been a world champion in Formula One. So let's start with you, Dom. Actually, no, we're going to save you till last because I've heard you've been a little bit of a renegade with this one.
Cool.
That's We're going to start with Chris.
Bonjour. okay, so
let's go for first.
What do you want first?
What do I want first? I want your team boss first.
The boss of the team.
The boss of the team.
I have chosen Mr. Ross Brawn himself.
Good choice.
Very good choice.
Why Ross Brawn? Ross Brawn. I think I like him as a chap. I think he would be, you know, a good guy to look after the team. He always seems to know people. He knows racing. He knows regulations very well. He's always the... I'll start again. It's not always.
Often
might find the loopholes in the regulations that result in a car going rather quickly. I know that's not always up to him. It's always the sometimes technical director as well. But then you've got to employ the right people to find the loopholes and get a good car. That, and he's a very likeable chap, as I said. He's always had a good crop of drivers.
He's had some success.
Which I think bodes well. And now that he's, this is all hypothetical, but he's actually working for the FIA, should bring him back, bring some, you know, some contacts,
bring
a few fivers
back,
and things. Yeah, you never know what might happen. So yeah, Ross Brawn, what do you want next, the car or the drivers?
Let's go for the car.
The car, the Lotus 79.
That's a very good choice.
A nice one.
Banging livery. Looks amazing. Haas tried to do it, couldn't quite.
No one can do that. Nobody.
Yeah, it's the fat tyres on it look amazing. Nice big wing on it. But then ground effect as well. Very revolutionary car. I mean, technically it was a 78 that brought in ground effect, but we'll ignore that. It worked on the 79. just revolutionary for its time. Brought in a lot of understanding of aerodynamics again and how wind can be manipulated and things like that. And it's Lotus, it's British. You know, we want to be patriotic amongst
keeping
all this.
It British then. You've two British
things. We'll change
so
that,
far.
Don't worry.
When it comes to the drivers,
yes, this says a lot.
Okay, let's have your world let's go for your world drivers champion first.
Now I'll put a disclaimer out there. My knowledge of F1 doesn't extend very far back, so it's going to be fairly modern in terms of
that's
drivers.
Cool.
Fernando Alonso. He understands cars really well. He's a dab hand at whatever he seems to do. Great car control. Incredible racecraft. He can just put a car anywhere and it seems to stick. Not adverse to cheating. he's done a lot with small teams, a lot with big teams as well. Brings himself up. He's just an all-round top bloke as
well.
He's
an incredible driver, isn't he? He's one of the best. One of the best, definitely.
No, I think so. And then the non championship winning driver.
This gives us a lot of scope, I think, because there's so many more non-world drivers champions than there are world champions. So take it away.
Rubens Barrichello.
Barrichello
or Barrichello. Yeah, it's an odd one, I think, but he's always been the team player. He's always been the guy who's, he's been second to Schumacher for so many years. And then he went about the place he was with Button
at Braun. Under Ross Braun as well.
You know, because if Jensen just didn't happen to bond with the car so well, he'd have won the championship as well. Mm-hmm. Multiple times, he's just been the guy to clean up. You can rely on him to put in a performance. Very rarely would he make mistakes. I think I've done a solid. Mm-hmm. I think I've done the made the correct choices. You're all wrong, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that would be a good team.
Yes, you've gone like for number two. Barrichello is very mature. Even when he started,
he's got a big head on those shoulders.
Yeah. No, he's very mature as a driver. You never saw him getting in.
And he beat the Stig.
And he beat the Stig. Yeah.
He did. That was true. I forgot about that. That's the main reason, of course.
I couldn't get the Stig as a non-world championship driver, could I?
No.
Which reincarnation of the Stig?
The Stig is an enigma.
The Stig's American cousin.
He's Stig.
Big Stig. Rig Stig.
Lorry driving Stig.
With the
yes.
With the sunburned shoulders.
Given that Stig request, I think you should tell us your team next.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Team boss.
Well, Ross Braun.
Hey! Copy and paste. Why though?
Because he's the best. No, I think the best way to put it is he is calm in a crisis. Mm-hmm. That if you threw anything at the man, he would be the reserved but calm and assured voice that you would need to lead the team. So you look at a number of situations. Schumacher and Barrichello. Yes, Barrichello was a number two driver, but he didn't come as a number two driver. Mm. He wanted to win, but Ross Braun was able to work with Barrichello and control him and keep him working for the team, being a number two. And I think he basically pushed him into that number two role. But that was because of Ross Braun and his people skills. And then the fact that he took over from Honda, Braun GP brought it from the ashes with the other main people in the team. Mm. And made it a world championship winning team out of what was essentially a shoestring. They just had nothing, and they were able to continue through the year, be reserved, but also maximise everything that they had in that car. And I think as an individual, a team manager, that's who I'd want in charge, someone like that. He'd still be in F1 if he wanted to. Mm. He just wanted to go off fishing for a bit.
He's the sort of man that would be really good at reading bedtime stories.
His lovely voice.
He should be.
He needs to work on his pitch and tone a bit, but he can sometimes be a bit monotonous, I think.
But at the same time,
send you to sleep. Bedtime stories.
perfect.
There you are. He can be very serious though. At the same time, there was one video where he was talking about, I think it was something to do with the Michelin tyres being slightly dubious, and you know, talking about Bridgestones, and then I think someone in the audience was laughing, and he stopped and he says, "Do you have to keep laughing?" And just stared this man down.
the reporter
was never seen again.
Yeah, the look you gave me just then, I feared for my life.
I channeled Ross Braun.
He does not. He's not scared to use the mafia.
No.
To kill off.
He uses it at the right point. Again, yeah. Nico Rosberg and Hamilton in Malaysia 2013. Hamilton was in front. Rosberg was quicker. And simply, Ross Braun's voice and tone kept Rosberg behind. Because Rosberg knew that once he pulled into the pits, he'd have to say something to Ross had he overtaken him, and he didn't want that. Mm-hmm. And he backed down. And I think only Ross Braun could do that. Christian Horner tried, didn't do it.
Multiple times.
Multiple times. And I think, you know, as a team manager, he is the ultimate. For the modern age, I'd say he's best prepared.
Excellent. Car.
Now, I've gone with a non-world championship winning car, which...
I will defend
and attack. The Williams FW26 from 2004, the walrus nose.
Mm. That thing was gopping.
That's why I love it. It's grown on me over the years that it's now become a beautiful looking race car.
You actually have a collector's of that, huh?
I have a little model of it at home, yeah. It's a car that was powered by the most powerful engine of that era, which was a BMW V10. It had over 900 horsepower. It was only second fiddle to McLaren and Ferrari in the year. So it wasn't a slow car. It looked great, blue and white, fantastic livery. And I think that if you had someone in charge like Ross Brawn, you could actually extract the most from it. I don't think they fully optimised that car. They didn't have the right relationship with BMW. It was Williams with BMW, not, and it sort of was two different people, two different organisations trying to fit one car together.
A bit like Honda and McLaren.
A bit like Honda,
recently,
yeah. Almost,
the second
yeah,
time round.
Yeah, one that wasn't kind of, yeah, quite as catastrophic, but yeah, mm-hmm, definitely. And I think that car would, in the right hands, have been a challenger for the title.
Whose hands would you put it in? Let's go for World Drivers Champion first.
Well, World Drivers Champion, I'm going to throw a curveball here. I'm going to say Jim Clark.
Oh,
I nearly picked him.
Jim Clark.
I nearly picked him as well.
And I've got some stats to back this up.
Oh, Christ.
Here we go. Let's just pause the recording
and we'll pretend that he's listing all the stats.
73 races, 25 wins.
Not bad.
That's pretty good. That's almost, what, that's just under 50%?
No, it's nearly a third.
Nearly a third. Quick maths, yeah.
He was, of his generation, the most naturally gifted and could drive any car. He drove F1 cars, F2 cars, touring cars, Le Mans cars. He was so versatile that I think you could throw him into a modern F1 car and he would be as quick as some of the modern drivers today. Mm-hmm. I think he is, as a personality, someone who doesn't necessarily lead, you know, with a, you know, being vocal, but would be the person that within the team you'd back as the person you trust to get the most out of a car. And of his generation, was just the most talented and would be up there with one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Can't argue with that, really.
No. Let's go for your non-World Drivers Champion then.
Well, to go with the Williams FW26, Juan Pablo Montoya.
I know he's a hero of yours.
He is a hero of mine, actually. Just, again, sort of come late to this fact, because I was a Schumacher fan at the time, being 10 years old, looking at someone winning, you'd naturally go towards the winner.
Glory Hunter.
Glory Hunter is another word for it. But looking back on it now, I just believe that Montoya's mentality was just the right one, and something that I, now that I'm grown up, I actually think he didn't care who you were, he was going to overtake you. He didn't care that you were Michael Schumacher, he was going to send it down the inside. He would drive everything 100%, and if you gave him the car, he would win. It was just a case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time with a slightly underperforming team rather than driver. So I think if you gave him the opportunity, him and Jim Clark, it would be, what should I say? It would be, if Jim Clark couldn't deliver, it would be Montoya that would back him up with a good result, potentially a win.
Complement each other. Fireworks with Montoya and ice cubes with Jim Clark.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a good team. Fab.
I think he's going to win.
We'll see. On to the next one then. Dom.
Okay, well, I'm just going to get straight to it. Zak Brown, because a bit of, you know, variety. He's a businessman. He knows what he's talking about. Given his record with McLaren in recent times, bringing Lando and Carlos Sainz in to F1, I mean, he's... Let's just say, to put it simple, he's a businessman. He knows how to sell. He knows what is needed, who to put in the right positions. As a car, I'm going to go with Lotus 98T because I just love it. Things just had incredible amounts of boost. This is just nothing, bang! Like, oh my god, like warp speed. And it was a sexy car as well with that livery.
Which, is that the Camel?
Not the Camel, the John Player Special, yeah, the special. Black and gold. Well, that's what I think of when I think of the 1980. And my curveball in here is Zak Brown at the helm with Colin Chapman as a technical director.
That's against the rules.
I know, which is why I've done it.
E.
There was a loophole in the rules.
There was a loophole. You didn't say it. That I could specify.
And I didn't, no. Okay, no. So you've got Colin Chapman as your technical director.
Yes.
Okay.
He's, you know, he's kind of like a raging bull, not afraid to appeal anything in court cases, as he did with his famous Lotus twin chassis car back in the 70s. It was 70s, wasn't it, I think? Yeah. But yeah, Colin Chapman, basically a masterclass engineer of that era of F1. And my two drivers would be Mika Hakkinen and Kamui Kobayashi. Now, I know that's a really...
Kobayashi, what a shout.
I know, that is a eclectic mix.
Yeah.
I know, but Kamui Kobayashi is just, you know, as Duval can attest for this, he's insane on in braking zones. He's just fearless. He's, you know, he when you look at him, he's just like, you know, he just looks like a little kid, just like, no, yeah, drive the car, you know. But he's just, you know, just incredible, you know, killer instinct. And for me, Mika Hakkinen, because as far as I'm concerned, in the glory days of Schumacher, the only one to go up against him and dethrone him. You want someone like that in your team. You know, you want someone who's, you know, yeah, everyone wants the best, but I mean, you want someone who can come not quite as the best and dethrone the best.
He arrived in the same team as Senna, didn't he? And yeah. Qualified Senna, and mm-hmm. No one did that.
In the same car.
No.
Well, Prost, but I mean, you know, no one arrived on the scene and did that. So that would be my F1 team of choice.
Fair enough.
I think that's the most interesting one yet.
Mm. Yeah.
Most varied. Couple of curveballs.
Mine, I think, are not really in F1 because I don't really watch F1. Mm-hmm. So my team boss would be Dr. Wolfgang Ulrich. He was the director of Audi Motorsport for 20 years. He was the man responsible for all those Audi wins at Le Mans. Every single one of them. Out of 18 entries, they won Le Mans 14, 15 times. They have always been on the podium at Le Mans. They have never finished fourth or lower. Or
in every Le Mans that they've started.
Every Le Mans that they've started, yeah. And he had that passion. You know, he, even if his competition wasn't doing well, mm-hmm. if they were retiring, he got upset because he didn't want to come in first place. He wanted to win. He wanted to battle it. But yeah, he was responsible for all those flawless Audi domination. So yeah, that's why I think Dr. Wolfgang Ulrich. For my car, I would go for the Ferrari F2013. I really like the look of that car. Like, it's quite squarish. I really like the wing hanging off the front, sort of canine teeth things.
Yeah, I remember that one. And quite high nose with the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like a saber tooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like the shape of that and the colours. And since I didn't really watch F1, I didn't really see how it performed, but I just really like the look of it. And it's one of my poster cars. For my World Drivers' Champion, I would go for Mario Andretti.
Interesting.
Mario Andretti.
Why?
Because he has won in F1, he has won in NASCAR, he has won in IndyCar. He is very good at what he does and in very different disciplines of motorsport as well.
Very, very well versed.
Yes. Yeah. He knows what he does. In my non-championship, or my non-drive F1 driver's champion would be Michael Christensen. Tom Christensen.
Tom Christensen,
9-time Le Mans champion, 9-time Le Mans winner. You don't win Le Mans 9 times just by getting lucky. So you have to be very
unless
good
you get
it.
Lucky 9 times.
Yeah, unless you get lucky 9 times. Yeah, he is. I think he's in. If you have Tom in your car, in your team, I think you're guaranteed safe hands.
Did he drive under Wolfgang?
Yes.
So
he was with Porsche first,
mm-hmm.
and then when Audi was created, he went there.
Yeah. So that's a good relationship to have as well.
Yeah.
That's a cool team.
I think Phil DeVal's cheated a little bit there. He's gone, these F1 drivers, crap. If they've not won, they're rubbish. So I'm going to go and choose the next best race series in the world and pick that winner.
Well, technically, Christensen did test a Formula One car. He didn't partake in a Formula One World Championship event, but he did drive for Jaguar.
So does that mean that I could have chosen Sebastian Loeb then? Because he tested for Toro Rosso.
I don't know. Is it in the rules?
Look, you broke the rules as well, man. Get over it. You've broken the rules in one way, you've broken them in a different way. Here we are, three of us, abiding by the rules.
Yeah.
Now you've said that, you know.
You're going to get thrown out apart
for that. You need to tell us yours.
I'm abiding by the rules.
Bloody hope so. Come on, tell us.
Would you like to? I mean, it's my idea, so.
Yeah, I'd like to hear your idea, Phil.
Okay. Team boss. Colin Chapman.
I feel threatened right now.
If you could see my eyes, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait until you see he says Kamui.
Daggers.
Actually, as well.
I'm staring daggers at Dom.
Right.
The reason I picked Colin Chapman is because he changed the game.
Mm, he did. That's why I picked him as well.
Okay. He changed the game. Because of his philosophy of adding lightness. It was not about having a thumping great engine at the front of the car with oomph down the straights.
At the back of the car?
No, he put the engine at the back of the car. effectively designing a cigar on wheels, yeah. Which is still the adopted approach, rear engine cars. Mm-hmm. So he really did change the game. Slightly controversial with the number of people killed in his cars due to his adding lightness philosophy. Bits tended to fall off and break quite easily.
Yep.
But really, I think he was just a technical genius. Mm-hmm. He thought outside the box and he brought F1 forward and brought designing and engineering forward a lot.
Imagine having him in modern F1, considering what safety was like then and his brain in the safety that we have now. I mean,
the thing is, it would be interesting though, because safety's so tight now. There's no corners cut. Everything is really proper, and
if there's anyone that can properly cut corners,
if there's anyone that can cut corners, it would be Colin Chapman. Yes. However, I just don't think he'd struggle. I think he'd really struggle. It's obviously not easy to come up with new things, otherwise everyone would do it, but it's easier to come up with things when there aren't that many regulations.
Well, the formula's just got streamlined, hasn't
course,
it? And now the regulations, like you said, are just so tight. There's not really much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, DAS, James Allison, that's quite, I'd say, quite a big...
That's a big thing.
...loophole they found there. Mm. But, Colin Chapman, bit of a hero.
What car would you...
Car. I would pick one of the dominant Ferrari cars, so I'm going to go for the F2004, the 2004 Ferrari that won in the hands of Michael Schumacher. I'm just going to pull up some stats here. That car in 2004, in the hands of Michael Schumacher, first place, first place, first place, first place, first place, retire. First place, first place, first place, first place, first place. First place, first place, second place, second place, 12th place, first place, seventh place.
Seven what?
Seventh place. That's incredible.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sorry about listing that, but I just felt like that really hammered home how impressive that car was. It was a monster of a car. And I'm a massive Ferrari fan. And
it was very pretty as well, wasn't it?
V10. Mm. Throw back to the glory days of pollution.
Diesel F1 car, that's what we need.
Are we going World Drivers Champion first?
Yep, go on.
I don't think that anyone will have expected this from me, because I am sometimes slightly scathing of him.
Mm.
Lewis Hamilton.
I wasn't expecting that at all, no. Quite supple, isn't he?
He is a very supple man. He's able to bend and touch his toes. He'll still be touching his toes when he's 90. Trust me.
Mm. But if he could, he would be driving an F1 car at 90.
Absolutely, it wouldn't surprise me. Mm. He's he's an athlete. He's so talented. He's...
I'm sorry, we've broken Duval with that, with that subtle comment.
I'll carry on. You just laugh there. Yes, Hamilton is a person who obviously has won 6 World Drivers' Championships. Mm. He's been in Mercedes, but he's not been beaten by a teammate over a whole season, apart from in 2016 when Rosberg beat him, arguably because of bad luck. And obviously Jensen Button gave him a good run for his money. However, Button's a world champion himself. Mm-hmm. So Hamilton's a class driver, arguably the greatest of all time. And he is sensible. He's not erratic.
No.
He won't make mistakes. He won't go for a gap that will close. He's sensible, he uses his head. I just think he's probably the greatest of all time.
Yeah. Very, very mature in his philosophy and approach as well.
Definitely.
Are you gonna surprise us with your non-champion driver now?
I don't know that it's that surprising. That's Stefan Beloff, who is not really a household name.
No.
Not many people know who he was, but he was around in the 80s. He was going to be the next big thing before his untimely death. He died in an accident whilst racing at Spa in the World Endurance Championship. But he did have a career in Formula One with Tyrrell in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And that season is mainly remembered for the breakthrough of Ayrton Senna, who at Monaco in the wet drove a Tolman to second place, arguably nearly first place, nearly overtaking Alan Prost. And everyone raves about his performance in that race, but closing in on those two was Stefan Beloff. He was catching them in a car that started in 20th position. So he's like your invisible man that never really was...
Never got the chance discovered, to show it.
Never got the chance to go to a top team. He was rumoured to be moving to Ferrari in 1986. I just think he would have had an incredible career. I think he would have been one of your Senna's, Prost's, Schumacher's, Hamilton's. Mm. He would have been uttered amongst those names had he not been taken away. But he held the lap record at the Nordschleife for 35 years.
That's not easy.
No.
Only beaten in 2018. So, incredible driver.
Was that by the Porsche Evo?
It was the Volkswagen.
Oh. I was going to say, that would have been...
It would have been the Porsche, yeah.
Yeah, that
would have been
fitting.
That wasn't an official thing.
It was the Porsche that he was driving when he died, wasn't it?
Rossman's Porsche.
Yeah, break the record. That's rather fitting.
Mm. But that's my team.
I think that's
who do you think is best?
We'll vote for another person.
Yeah, you can't vote for yourself.
You can't vote for yourself. Okay. I'm going to need some thinking time. Can we just do... So you were Colin Chapman.
I was Zak Brown and Colin Chapman, Lotus 98T with Hakkinen and Kobayashi.
Ross Brawn with the FW26 and Jim Clark and Montoya.
I was Ross Brawn with the Lotus 79, Alonso and Barrichello.
I was Dr. Ulrich with the F2013, Mario Andretti and Tom Christensen.
And I went for Colin Chapman with the Ferrari F2004, Lewis Hamilton and Stefan Beloff.
Who do we start with?
I'm voting for Chris.
Why though?
I think he's gone for... Well, I was toying with going for Ross Brawn.
Mm-hmm.
I think equally Colin Chapman and Ross Brawn are kind of put them up on a pedestal. The car ground effect, and he's got Alonso in there. Alonso's a super driver. Barrichello would do a good job of bringing home those second places, so I think it'd be a good team. One vote for Chris.
Would go for Phil.
Oh, that seems suspiciously.
No, it just worked out.
We've
been
playing footsies under the table.
Yeah. I think yeah, Colin Chapman's a revolutionary chap. He did a lot, made my car. So I've got to give kudos for that. And Hamilton, yeah, I think he is probably one of the greatest of all time. I just don't like him very much. The car, it's a Ferrari. That's about it, really. It's a good car. Brought, arguably, I think Schumacher probably did more credit to that car than it perhaps otherwise would have done in someone else's hands.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still won a load, nonetheless.
A shed load.
Yes, it's won a shed load. So yeah, Phil.
I'm going to jump straight in and put my vote in for Duval, purely and simply because...
Two cheats voting for each other.
Well, we don't know who Duval's going to vote for.
True.
Yet.
Another cheat, probably.
I see what you've done there.
But Tom Christensen in an F1 car, I want to see that. Mario Andretti, I mean, we're all in our 20s, so we wouldn't even have been around to see the likes of Stefan Beloff and you know, Mario Andretti. But I mean, the Andretti name is just epic. It's like, when you think of Chip Ganassi, you think of motorsport. When you think of Ayrton Senna, you think of motorsport. You think of the Richard Petty, you think of motorsport. You know, so the Andretti name is just like...
It's a big name, isn't it?
Huge name. The entire family. You know, so that I would like to see. The 2013 Ferrari wasn't my favourite car, but, you know, if you had to take Andretti in his prime and Christensen and stick him in that car, that would be epic. And also, I mean, Wolfgang bro knows what he's doing, so that's why I'd vote for that team.
Let's go for Josh next. What are you going to do?
Well, I would go for
you
Phil's
can't
team.
Vote for yourself.
I'll go for Phil's team. I would. Another vote for Phil.
Tell me why you voted for me.
Boost that.
It's
not
that
smile
on
my face.
It's not that £100.
Can
I
take my vote away
it?
Now? Just because of how smug you're looking right now. You've basically won. Should we finish there? Colin Chapman was, as you said, probably the greatest innovator of, for one, his generation, possibly Formula One in general. Like, he did rewrite Formula One history with ground effect. The engines and everything like that, with the putting it in the back, that was inspired. And I think generally, if you had him as a leader,
we can't ignore that comment, can we?
What did I say?
Especially when Dom's creasing.
What did I say?
Nothing.
Well, you'll be able to listen at the end. I missed it as well.
Engine in the rear.
You should have said that, but okay, yeah,
you like to rear, you like to be rear engine.
Just put it in the back.
Proceed.
Let's go on. I don't know. I'm gonna have to listen to that. The F2004 is obviously a favourite car of mine as well. It has history. Schumacher, that is synonymous with him. And then you look at Lewis as well. Fantastic driver. I'd be interested to see what Stefan Beloff can do as well. So, yeah.
Mm. Last but not least.
Last but not least, Duval needs to put his vote in.
I think Phil as well.
Basically, Phil's paid everyone to vote for it, pretty much.
So. This is why this show was his idea, and now you can see why. He wanted to win.
Oh, I love that. It's my thing, isn't it? History and of F1.
So, why Phil, Duval?
Why Phil? Colin Chapman, once again, great innovator. I like people who enable tomorrow to exist today, and in F1 he enabled
can I just
tomorrow.
Enter? What a quote.
We need
to
that
on a t-shirt.
Shirt. Yeah.
He
Badger
made,
dice coming soon.
Yeah. He made cars that were built for tomorrow, which is today. Or however that quote goes now. yeah. The F2004 cracking car. Very fast. Lewis Hamilton, obviously, blessed man of all motorsport. And Stefan Beloff, not only a promising F1 driver, but a very good sports car driver as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, cheers, lads.
Thank you, come again.
Yeah. I think that was very interesting.
That was very, very interesting.
A load of
interesting
views.
Hopefully
you
thought the same.
Yeah.
I think, of course, this is all for the viewers at the end of the day. Dom's, I think, was most interesting, though. As much as no one voted for Dom.
Mm.
Devar vote for Dom?
No, he
voted
for
you.
No one voted for me. No one voted for me nor Josh.
Because you're too scared to vote for the best.
Too scared.
You know, the best
I think Dom's was certainly the most interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kobayashi, great shout. A kamikaze bandit. He's he's just a cracking driver. And the slight play on things having going beside the rules with Colin Chapman
mm-hmm.
as your rule breaker, I thought
mm-hmm.
was quite good.
Imagine Kobayashi going around actually driving a 98 Tino. Just imagine his face. Oh,
yeah.
wouldn't hit the brakes, would he?
No, he wouldn't. Yeah. No, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. We need to do more specials like this.
Yeah.
Definitely. Got some ideas.
In my bag
of ideas.
Listeners should get in touch and see what their dream F1, ultimate F1 team would be.
Yeah.
Of course.
Give us some suggestions, things to talk about as well. If you ever want to hear us talk about
anything
motorsport related, even if you want one-off specials about, you know, tea cozies, by all means, get in touch.
Drop it down there in the comment section.
Yeah.
Cow aerodynamics.
No, that we've actually talked extensively about something like this. Studies have actually been done.
Yeah.
But we'll not bore you with that, right?
The ins and outs of
the ins and outs of
aerodynamics. Not a Sunday afternoon topic.
No.
Right, I think
that's a good one to call it. So stay tuned for more exclusive content.